Kingdom authority flow from his throne unto his own, his anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the Majesty, worship his majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Good morning. Another beautiful Sunday morning, nice and crisp out this morning, but the fall is certainly a beautiful time of our year. So welcome to our worship service today. It's good to see everyone here. I have some announcements to go over. First of all, just want to verbally say the women of the church, you'll have a meeting after church next Sunday. Imagine it's planning for soup kitchen and a lot of different things. So, and there's also coffee hour after church next Sunday. So plan to stay for that. The women do a lot of very important work in the life of our church, and we thank God for them, the work that they do. The power show, so there was some leftover things, Chislik and different things. Anyway, that will be at the kitchen window after church, if you like. There is a few packages of Chislik left, I think, right? Two. Okay, so those are 5 dozen packs, $55 is what those are. So there'll be some other items there, and thanks to everybody that helped. That takes a lot of work to make that all happen. The whole power show and our food stand as well. The flowers, these two upper ones here and those two on that side, are given in memory of Leland Wiedmeyer. We had his service it was Thursday afternoon. And so we want to continue to pray for Clara May and the family, and we thank them for sharing those with us. The one down lower is still in memory of John Hess. So thanks to Matha for that one. We do have Holy Communion today, as I think everyone is aware of. We have open communion, and so as you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you are welcome to partake of that when the time comes. For the children, we encourage them to wait until they've been confirmed before they start taking the Lord's Supper. This is a short notice deal. It's not in the bulletin, but we have several high school students that are in the FCCLA in our congregation, and they're doing a fall clothing drive. So really, you just have this week up to next Sunday. If you have fall clothing items and want to bring them, there's a couple boxes in the social hall, and there's a poster there too that would tell a little bit more of some of the items they're looking for. The one other thing, I realize this is about 3 weeks away, but we're planning to have our men's event again on October 23rd. There's a sign-up sheet. So far, I'm the only guy on there. Hopefully, we get a lot more than that. Justin Plooster sort of coordinates. I guess he just hasn't signed up yet, but wherever you're at, there you are. You're still good to go, right? Okay, thank you. And we're having this Reverend Wayne Uppendahl. He's the interim pastor at Parkston Congregational Church, our sister church up there. He's going to be sharing that night. He was here last year with us attending. So he does a wonderful job. This is for the community. So guys, invite your friends along. All right, the rest of the announcements I will let you read as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we worship you and praise you. Lord, we think of heaven. We think of those that have recently gone on to heaven from our community, surrounding region. As we sing that song, Majesty, I can't help but think of them and how they are worshiping you, Jesus, in all of your glory, with all of the host of heaven, the angels, our loved ones who've gone on before, seeing you, Jesus, seated on the throne. It's incredible to think about. And yet we are on this earth and we worship you by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. So help us to do that today. As you fill this sanctuary with your presence and your glory and your power, you are God Most High, and we love you. Thank you for moving among us by the power of your Spirit during this service. Lord, you know every one of us by name, and you know our joys and you know our struggles. So I thank you for touching lives and hearts here this morning by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 210, Praise to the Lord the Almighty. This is such a beautiful hymn. They all are. But before we sing, I've said this before, I think it's been a while ago. My memory of this hymn is however many years ago when Matthew Pressler was a senior in high school and he sang in this honors chorus at the Washington Pavilion with, 60 or 80 voices or something. And they sang this, and it was amazing. So let's see if we can do that, all right? Lift your voices, lift the organ, and let's stand. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to his temple draw near. Join me in gladness. That was pretty close, I tell you. Until Matthew we got there, okay? Well, take a moment, greet those around you before you're seated, please. Okay, we'll have our sharing of joys and concerns here. First, let's see, good to have Pat Palmerville with us and her great-granddaughter Brooklyn, and Lee is coming along little by little after his hip surgery here a couple weeks ago. Still can't wait, bear on it too much, but gradually improving. So continued prayers for Lee and Pat both. Also, Ramona Bittner had called this morning and asked for prayers for her brother Gary. You might know him as Shorty Huber. He has been in hospice and is in sort of the dying process right now. So be praying. He's had about four different battles with cancer, three or four. Yeah, so prayers for his wife Monica and the family. They are there in Sioux Falls. Also, Linda Zabe having knee replacement tomorrow morning. That's why she was greeting with her mask on, in case you wondered. Just to be careful. So we pray for her and Carl both. Most of you probably know, but maybe not all, this young mother, Jessica Schaefer, 37 years old. We've been praying for her and her family. Husband Travis, she did pass away this last week. It's Wednesday or Thursday morning, one of those 2 days. So prayers for them. The funeral is tomorrow at Calvary Baptist in Yankton at 10:30. It's hard to put ourselves in the family's shoes, really, with four little kids. And her husband is Travis. We know Grandpa's Galen here from our community, and Connie. So they definitely need our prayers. Okay, anything else? Miss Cindy. Yes, Maitha Wright's 91st birthday was this last Wednesday, and she's here with us. Happy birthday, Maitha. Okay. Maitha is roommates with Idella Herbolt, and they're both here today. So, okay, Ivana. Zoe Schaefer's birthday is on Tuesday. Happy birthday, Zoe. Ron. Yeah. Yes, a teenager in the house. Okay, we will. Two more coming soon. Okay. Anything else over here? Okay, how about over here otherwise? Yes, Valerie. Today is Jensen Willinga's birthday. Happy birthday, Jensen. Are you 6 or 7? 6, okay. Good deal. All right. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come together before your throne. We thank you. Thank you for birthdays that were mentioned here. That's always exciting with our young people. We ask your blessing upon them and their families, Lord. We pray for Ramona Bittner's brother, Gary Huber. We just lift him up before your throne, his wife, Monica, the family. Thank you for just filling that room there, wherever he's at. I don't know if he's in the hospital or at home, but you do. Filling that room with your presence and ministering your peace and your comfort to them and to Gary for whatever time he has left on this earth. Lord, we're so thankful for you, Jesus. Your word tells us we don't have to sorrow as those who have no hope, because we do have hope of eternal life through Christ alone. Yes, there is grieving, and we pray for Clara May as well during this time. There is that grieving process, but there is the rejoicing as we know we can see our loved ones once again. We pray for Travis Schaefer and family, Lord, those four kids, little kids, and how do they understand and process all of this, Lord? By your grace, thank you for taking hold of them and walking them through this difficult time. I know their faith is strong. I know their eyes are upon you. And we ask for your presence just to be greatly manifest tomorrow at the funeral service as they gather to celebrate Jessica's life. Thank you for Lee Palmerville, the healing that's taking place there after his surgery. We pray for Linda Zabe, and thank you for going before her tomorrow with her knee replacement surgery. Thank you for watching over both of these individuals. Lord, we're grateful for the moisture that you blessed us with the last couple days, just again to refresh the earth, your creation. Thank you for the harvest as it continues to go on. We pray always for protection and safety in the equipment, in the busyness of the season. Just give your angels charge over to all who are helping in this process. Thank you, Father, for being with our nation. As we daily pray for this land, we ask as we sing, God bless America. We ask that you would stand beside us and guide us through the night with the light from above, and that is from you. And we've been through dark places before over our history, and you've brought us through. And we thank you that you are working mightily to do the same, a return of hearts and lives to you and your word. Thank you for our troops as they so faithfully serve in our nation and abroad. Keep them safe. We pray for our first responders of all kinds and our health professional workers. Thank you for the sacrifices that they do give, that they give day in and day out. Keep them safe as well. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. John 1:29. This is when Jesus was coming to John the Baptist there at the Jordan River to be baptized. And John said, it says, the next day John, that's John the Baptist, not the Apostle John. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And he does, and we will celebrate him throughout this service and certainly through the Lord's Supper. Let's stand and we will sing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Thank you, Father, as we have this time of our offering. Lord, we all know it's not just dropping money in a box at the back of the sanctuary, but it's giving to you out of obedience to your word as you gave us your very, very best, your only begotten Son. As your word says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And that is you, Jesus. And so we bring the first fruits of our increase as an act of worship to you this morning. Thank you for blessing them, for multiplying them as you do many times over for the work of your kingdom. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated as the children come. I don't know if you noticed, we got the storage shed out here just north for the church that came this last week or before. So we'll be moving stuff in there to open another classroom. Okay. The door is unlocked if you want to look in there after church. You sure can.
Good morning, boys and girls. Come on up here. Skylar, you might want to sit back a little bit because so you can see. How are you all today? Are you good? All right, I'm just going to show you a few things here. We're going to talk today about who saves us. You can sit down anywhere. Let me just, right there's good. Who saves us? God. God does through who? Through Jesus, right. Just sit right down, Katie. That's good. Through Jesus, right. He's the one. He's the only one that can save us. And do you know how he saved us? How did he save us? How? Dying on the cross, right? And what does the Bible say that his blood does? Makes it go away, right? Yes. Takes our sins away, right? So here I just have a little object lesson to show you, okay? This here bowl is representing Jesus. This is Jesus. And this is us. It says in the Bible that we've all come, has sin in our life. This represents you and me, and it says, what does it say on it?
Sin.
It says sin on it. And all those X's are like sins that we've done or do. What are some things that you think that you do or somebody does that could be a sin? Like, how about obeying your parents? What if your dad tells you to do something and you say, no way? Do you think that could be a sin? Yeah. You kick somebody, you're mean, you hurt someone. Do you have one? Something that you do that's wrong. If you hit, right? Punch, push, Jensen. How about if your mom tells you to go make your bed and you say, I'm not going to make my bed. I don't have to make my bed. What? You never say that, do you? Oh, he's not admitting it one way or the other. Anyway, those are all sins, and I have sins too. Sometimes our sins as we are older, it can be things like our attitude. Our teacher wants us to do something and we don't want to do it. Or we want to be first all the time. It can be something like that. There's all kinds of sins. So this represents our sins. And it tells us, here, I'm going to put our sins in Jesus. Here we go. We go into Jesus right there. Let me just get that down in there. And I want to read you a scripture. All right, there we are. We're in Jesus right there. Just hang on a second. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he in the light, we have fellowship with each other. We walk in the light, and that means we ask Jesus to come into our heart. We do our best we can to be a good boy and girl. And here it is, the blood of Jesus. What saves us? The blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. This is what happened. Where'd it go? Jesus washed it away, right? I'm not going to hold it up too high. It's all gone, right? That's what happens to our sins. Jesus takes them away. And now, as boys and girls, what we do, we ask Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. Come into our lives just like this. Jesus, I love you. Come into my life. Can you guys say that with me? Say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Come into my life. That's getting saved. And then Jesus does that with our sins and they're gone. Now, does it mean that we're perfect from then on? Are we going to still sin? We are still going to sin. What do we do when we still sin? Whoops. What? Come back to God, Jesus, and we repent, we say we're sorry, and we try our best not to do it, right? That's right. That's what communion reminds us of. Jesus tells us to do that. Remember what he did for us, and that's what we are doing. Okay? Let's pray. Close your eyes. Fold your hands. God, we love you so much, and we thank you for sending Jesus. We couldn't pay for our sins. We couldn't wash them away. No one else can wash them away. No one else can save us, only Jesus. And we thank you for him. Thank you, Lord, for these boys and girls. Bless them this week. Help them to be the light shining for you wherever they go. Help them to listen to you and to listen to their teachers, and help them just to be the best boys and girls they could be. And we pray that for us adults too. Help us to live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can get your papers now. Kenneth, you can get a paper.
Okay, thank you, Ann. Put it up there, just cover it. Hi. They are cute, aren't they? We thank God for our little ones. Thank you, Anne, for doing this children's sermonette each week. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the little ones. Jesus, as you said yourself, let the little ones come unto me. For of such is the kingdom of God. We thank you for them, for their childlike faith, their excitement to come down here. It's just beautiful to see. Lord, help our faith to be the same, just so simply trusting you for what you tell us in your word. And we thank you for your word today. Once again, I ask, Father, for you to speak through me by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going back to Hebrews again. Surprised? Well, probably not. I'm just going to read two verses in this 11th chapter, and then we're going back to Exodus. So verse 27 through 29, and verse 28 is what we're going to focus on. But verse 27, by faith he, that's Moses, by faith Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Verse 28, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. Now back to Exodus chapter 12, just part of this as that first Passover is begun. Chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family. One for each household. If any household is too small for a lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire." Chislik, right? "Along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roasted over the fire, head, legs, and inner parts. Let me pause for a second. So there you go. The Navajos do very well at that. They eat that sheep head every time. Verse 10, do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I, God speaking, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign on the houses, the blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. For 7 days you are to eat bread made without yeast. On the first day, remove the yeast from your houses. For whoever eats anything with yeast in it from the first day through the seventh must be cut off from Israel. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly and another one on the seventh day. Do not work at all on these days except to prepare food for everyone to eat. That is all you may do. Amen. And it goes on. You can read the rest of the chapter and the next, maybe this afternoon as you have time. This, it says in back in Hebrews, by faith, Moses kept the Passover. This was the very first time this has ever happened. First time they had ever experienced this. And the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. So in this, we come to the 10th plague out of 10. From when God had Moses go back there to Egypt, go to Pharaoh so boldly now this time and said, let my people go. Pharaoh's like, are you crazy? They're not going. Matter of fact, if they want to go, they have so much idle time, then let them gather their own straw for the bricks. Before, at least, the Egyptians were giving them the straw. So this is all going on, all of the plagues, and God kept hardening Pharaoh's heart. Nope, not going to let him go. A couple times he said, okay, and then he'd change his mind that fast. The 10th plague, this is going to break him. Finally, it is going to break him. Because this, God is doing this to bring judgment, Exodus 12:12 said, on all the gods of Egypt. So I want to this morning look at just the connections between the Passover lamb here. This is 1,500 years before Jesus was born and went to the cross as the Lamb of God, as John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he, right here, 1,500 years between these two events. So the first one, if you're doing your outline, number one, the Passover lamb described. Let's see, when they chose these lambs, what were the criteria? The Passover lamb described. So the first, letter A there, he had to be a male lamb without blemish. Blemish meaning defect. Without blemish. It said it right there. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. Then I jump to verse 5. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect. And you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Very specific rules God is laying down. That's just how his word is. There are specific rules. Then there are today. Did everybody follow it? Of all the Israelites estimated at 2 million, well, we're not told really that anyone didn't, but you have to wonder, especially when they, as soon as they get up to the Red Sea, they're already grumbling about all that God did. This had to be a male. The lamb did, 1 year old. What's the connection? We know, I think, hopefully most all of us know. The connection is Jesus was a man, had to be. He had to be without sin. Had to happen that way. I think it was this last week in the first group of confirmation, we were talking with the catechism questions about the virgin birth. Why did it have to be that way? We've talked about it before, but they just that day couldn't quite come with that answer. Had to be because we are born with sin. We know that. Back to Adam and Eve and the sin. So the only way for Jesus to be born without the original sin was for him to be born of the Virgin Mary, because the sin nature is passed through the seed of the man. So because we are born with original sin, that's why we have to be a couple words, born again, reborn, somebody said, born again. Now I was thinking about that as I was going over this morning, actually. Now that should have been an answer. Like, I see some of these, the football teams, I don't know that Scotland Menno does it so much, but I've seen other schools do this. The announcer that, we'll use the Razorbacks since that's what we used to be. So if there was a first down, we got the ball, and the announcer says, and that leads to another Razorback, and the whole crowd says, what? Oh, yeah, that's pretty good, except they're a little more enthusiastic about it. Let's try that again. I'm getting to a point, if you're wondering. That leads to another Razorback. Okay, so I want some kind of answer like that when I say we were born with sin. That's why we have to be born again. Yeah, let's try that once more. We were born with original sin. That's why we have to be
born again.
Oh, thank you. We should have at least that response more than what the first down is, right? My goodness, yes. We have to be. The other, this is all pointing to Jesus, every one of these. We know that, we should know that. But I wonder too, this is just my thoughts, thinking through this, why did he have to tell him, this lamb needs to be one male, okay, without defect, without blemish. Some of them might have thought, I don't know that I want to give my best lamb. Do I have to give my best lamb for this sacrifice? You know, I got one that's a little limp here and maybe crippled or whatever. Let's give that one. No, God said, without blemish. Without blemish, the best, because that's who Jesus is and was, perfect. He was the best. Two verses, I don't have this referenced in your outline, but here, of the unblemished lamb in the New Testament, listen, Hebrews 9:14. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself, here's your word, unblemished to God. 1 Peter 1:18-19. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed. Then I'm jumping over to verse 19. But it was with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish. We see it right there. Okay, second point. The lamb lived with the family. For so many days, the lamb did. He lived with the family. That might seem weird to us today, but not so much today. Going back to the Navajos, different times here. In our years with the Navajos, it was the ones who herded sheep, which were a lot of them. It was not uncommon at all to go to visit to one of their homes, and if they had bottle-fed lambs, they were in the house just going wherever they pleased. Going and probably going wherever they please, if you follow me. Yeah, those grandmas, they wore their long three-tier dresses, and they'd sit down at the table for a meal, and the little lamb would just come sit right under grandma, because she's the one that always fed him the bottle. So that little lamb thought that was mama, I'm sure. So on the 10th day, we said, that's when they were to select the lamb. This wasn't just a ho-hum thing. Oh, let's take that one. No, God told Moses, he gave Moses these instructions already before the on or before the first day of that month. As we started out in Exodus 12, God said, this month is to be the first month of your year, March/April. And the Jewish calendar, to this day, that's where they start their year. Today, that first month is, I'll say, Nisan, N-I-S-A-N. That is what it is called. They don't have a specific day because as Easter, for us, as we celebrate it, the day changes every year, right? Drives all the marketing people crazy. They want it to be one day, just like Christmas always is, December 25th. They want it one day every year so they can make their money. But so far, we've withheld on that. And it goes, I'm not going into all how it goes, why it changes. I don't have time for that this morning. So that's why it can be as early, Easter, I'll say it that way, can be as early as about March 22nd. It can be as late as April, I believe, 24th. So you have a whole month in there fluctuating. And so Passover changes too, according to that. So he said on the first day of the month, this first time God was given Moses these instructions, you got to tell him, they got to choose a lamb, a male, a year old, without blemish, without defect, and they are going to slaughter him. They need to pull him out on the 10th day, and on the 14th day is when that happens. So you got 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 5 days. He's probably just right with them, maybe even longer, because they're looking through the herd, the flock. Which one is the best to offer as this sacrifice? The lamb, here's your connection, okay? I'll try not to miss blanks for you. So they got acquainted with this lamb. The family did. Yeah, just, you know, I don't know if it'd come a pet that soon, but you know those little lambs are like pets. They got acquainted with the lamb, and you know what? Jesus, he can sympathize, the Bible says, with our weaknesses. He can sympathize with our weaknesses because he has been there. I thought about that too this week. I was thinking, as we all were, praying for Travis and Jessica Schaefer, and you know, just, oh, I was reading first this morning a post that Travis put on after she passed on that Caring Bridge. I'm about crying reading that. But thinking, and I was thinking of this verse, Hebrews 4:15. I didn't read it all. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. So I was like thinking, Lord, okay, when would you have gone through maybe a time like that? Well, first thing that came to my mind was his cousin, John the Baptist, who would have been, he was just 6 months older than Jesus. We know Jesus was nailed to the cross at about the age of 33 and a half years. John the Baptist was beheaded before that. So, as two young people, right? Letter C, the lamb was killed at twilight. Twilight as the sun is setting. When all the people of the community of Israel, Exodus 12:6, they must slaughter them at twilight. Again, specific instructions. Think of how many lambs. So let's say the estimates, most commentaries agree, 2 million Israelites coming out of Egypt when Pharaoh finally says, get out of here. We just read in the Sunday school class, high school this morning, when they came out, there were 600,000 men, scripture says, not counting women, not counting children. That's how we come up with the 2 million, as I think a low-end estimate. Okay, a lamb per household, some people had to share. Let's just think if there was maybe an average of 8 per house, because you know they had lots of kids then. If there was 8 people per house, 2 million divided by 8, you have 250,000 lambs being slaughtered at that time. And so it was. At the 9th hour, that's 3 p.m. in the afternoon. What's this showing? The connection here. Substitution, right? A lamb had to give its life in every household so that the firstborn of that household, man and beast, could live. That's substitution. That's Jesus. Totally. We know that. He hung on that cross as a substitute in our place so we could have life in him. And we do. And we enjoy it. We live for him. We live in him. Once, the death he died, Romans 6:10. The death he died to sin once for all. It's not again and again, it's once. That's why we don't have to do the sacrifices today. But the life he lives to God. The people had to believe then. They had to do this by faith. Moses instructed them by faith. The people had to believe by faith. Again, suppose there was some out of the 2 million, I don't have the scripture verse, but I just have to wonder, did all of them do it? What if some of them said, we are not doing that? They knew about sacrifice, yes. They were familiar with that. But putting the blood over the doorposts of the house, you think all the rules of the law and all that, that hadn't come into place yet. That's after they get out in there in the wilderness through Moses. I'm not putting blood on the doorpost of my house. It's about how some people act today. I'm not believing that stuff. Well, then judgment's going to fall. Judgment's going to fall. All right, let number two. Let's talk about the blood of the lamb here. And letter A, the blood was a sign. It was. Verse 12, chapter 12 of Exodus, verse 7, they are to take some of the blood, put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lamb. Very specific. Verse 23 of chapter 12, Exodus. I didn't read that far, but listen, God speaking. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, well, I'm referencing the Lord, he will see the blood. He will see the blood on the top and sides of the doorframe and pass over, that's why it's called the Passover, because that's what he's going to do. He'll pass over the doorway and he, God, will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. Now, I've mentioned the verse right there many times over the years. I love that because as the blood of that lamb did for those people 1,500 years before Jesus, 3,500 years back from today, how much more does the blood of Christ for us? As Anne showed the kids, yes, it washes our sins away. As I often say, there is protection in the blood of Jesus Christ. That is why you often hear me in my prayers, and I pray the blood of Jesus over our troops. For example, I pray, I've told you this many times, when I walk to church, how many times a day? I'm often saying, Lord, I pray the blood of Jesus over this congregation, asking your hand of protection upon them. So the destroyer cannot enter our houses. This is the sign of the covenant. The shedding, here's the connection, the shedding of his blood. It's the sign of the covenant there, which we will see when we come to the Lord's Supper. All right, letter B. Got to keep moving. Through the blood of Jesus, we come before his throne. That's how we are able to approach him. Only through the blood of Jesus. Chapter 12, verse 22 of Exodus. There he says, not one of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. Even if you got the blood over the doorposts, you go out that door in the middle of the night. And if you're the firstborn, you're going to be dead. You stay in that house, in his presence. I'd bring it up to today. We live in His presence every day under that umbrella of His protection. Does that mean nothing bad will ever happen? No, He's not saying that. But I'm going to tell you what, if we just throw that off and throw caution to the wind, so to speak, and we think, I'm just going to live how I want to live. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what the Bible says. I'm going to do it. Treading on dangerous, dangerous ground. Because Satan is out there, 1 Peter says, going about as a roaring lion. Thank you. Seeking whom he may
devour.
Yes, right. He's there, roaming around. Even as we stay in God's protection, there's still attacks, those flaming arrows that we showed on Sunday school kickoff. Think of that. Can you imagine the screams, what the Israelites were hearing in their homes, their little bitty homes, the screams coming from the Egyptians? Yeah, they had their own area, yes, in the land of Goshen. But there were still Egyptians all around them. It said in the land of Goshen, among the Bible says, among their homes that night, not even a dog barked. Well, that's an unusual night, isn't it? Not even a dog barked. Can you imagine the horror in the homes of the Egyptian people as they were finding their maybe husband or son or brother dead instantly? The weeping of it all. God was displaying his power before all of Egypt, before all of Israel. Judgment this night. I think that we're going to sing this first when we have communion here, that when I survey the wondrous cross. I'll get to that third point in a second. You know the words, when I survey the wondrous cross. Survey means to we think about it, right? We think about him, what he did, on which the Prince of Glory died. My richest gain, whatever that might be in your lives, my richest gain I count but loss, meaning it's nothing compared to what Jesus did. Anything I could do, it's nothing. And I pour contempt on all my pride. That means I despise it. Pride is not a good thing. Number three, it was a night of judgment. And it was. I've said that. Verse 12, on the same night, God says, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The cross, yes, a time of salvation, but it was a time of judgment. God was pouring his wrath out upon his son in our place, what should have been upon us. Galatians 3:13, listen, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. He took our place. I want to read one more verse here. Romans 3:25, I like this out of the New Living. Says this, for God sent Jesus to take the punishment for our sins and to satisfy God's anger against us. We are made right with God when we believe that Jesus shed his blood, sacrificing his life for us. It's beautiful to see. Now, the reason I put the verses in the meditation of the Bible part, you can read those later. The reason I put those in, they're still from Exodus 12, is because God had a plan even then for the foreigners who were living among them. He had a plan for them to be saved, but they had to come the right way, okay? We see that through Jesus to the whole world, the Gentile world. It's whosoever believe, but they have to come the right way through the blood of Jesus, and that's it, period. We see it, I think of things naturally speaking in our nation, and I don't know, people have a hard time thinking there should be rules. Enough said. You know what I mean. The blood, God had very specific rules. He allowed a way. And they could come. He said, if you read those verses, okay, if you're going to survive this night of judgment, if you have foreigners with you that you know, and a lot of them did, a good thing. They got to be circumcised first. The men, the boys, they have to be circumcised. Ouch. Okay. And if they believe, yes, they can come in to your house. Provision was made. And provision is made for our salvation through the blood of Jesus to whosoever will come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come by faith before your throne only through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other way but you, Jesus, as we read that verse all the time. You are the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through you. So thank you for this table prepared for us and all that it represents. Thank you for your sacrifice for us. In Jesus' name, amen. The consistory can go to the back to prepare for the Lord's Supper. We also have a prayer of confession. The words will be on the screen. We're told in 1 Corinthians that we are to examine ourselves before we come to the Lord's table. Number one, do I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior? That's number one. Secondly, is there sin that I need to confess before him? Do that as we're coming, as we're singing. Ask the Lord, just between you and him, to forgive you of your sin. So let's pray this prayer together, please. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne today only through the blood of Jesus Christ. Your word says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending Jesus to take the punishment for our sins and to satisfy God's anger against us. We are truly humbled and so very grateful to receive your mercy in this way. As we receive the sacrament of Holy Communion this morning, we confess our sins before you. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. Your word says, if you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Once again, we look upon the cross where you died. Once again, we surrender our lives to you, Jesus. For you are Lord of heaven and earth. Thank you for saving us and delivering us from all the power of the devil. Thank you for filling us with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. In your name, the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. If you'd come, please. As the elements are distributed, the bread will be first. If you'll hold that, and we'll all take it together. When we come to the wine, as you know, the innermost ring of each tray is grape juice. The other rings contain the wine. Let me pray once more. Father, thank you for this very holy, sacred time that came to us at great expense. Help us not to take this for granted, but to fix our eyes upon you always. We thank you for this bread representing the body of Christ, bruised, beaten, broken, Jesus, as you hung there in our place. We thank you for this wine and this juice representing the blood that you shed for our salvation. Thank you for the forgiveness of our sins. Let these elements be sanctified, I pray, for this time and this purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. We'll sing 324 while the bread's being distributed, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. If you like to sing along, you can. If you'd rather just remain silent, that's fine as well. Apostle Paul said, For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's take the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for your love for us that is so incredible that by your stripes, the whippings, the beatings upon your back, we are healed. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Again, the innermost ring is grape juice. This next song, you'll have to look at the words on the screen. It only has the chorus in our hymnal, but you know it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's take the cup together. Father, thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. The powerful blood of Jesus, your blood that still speaks today, that still redeems, that still saves, that still washes our sins away. We praise you and love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, consistory. Amen. Our closing hymn will be Glory to His Name, or Down at the Cross. Let's stand together as we sing this, please. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Amen. And we will sing, of course, one more as a prayer for our nation. God bless America.
My home, sweet home. God.
Amen. You may be seated. Have a wonderful day. Thank you, Cindy, for the beautiful music. Remember, if there's items you want from the power show, you can look out there.